Last time we began looking at outcome 1.1. We looked at spiritual fruit. We also looked at humility. And today we want to talk about integrity and simplicity. At the Lausanne Congress in Cape Town in 2010, which addressed the pressing issues facing the evangelical church worldwide in our time, the renowned theologian Chris Wright posed the following question: what do you think is the greatest obstacle to God's desire for the evangelization of the world? It's not other religions. It's not persecutions. It's not resistant cultures. The greatest problem for God in his redemptive mission for the world is his own people. Here are some of his challenging statements. Many evangelical leaders have become obsessed about their status and power in the Christian church and have become disobedient to Christ in the process. They worship popularity and therefore exaggerate or report dishonest statistics to make themselves look more successful than they are. Similar to the false prophets of old, these leaders claim to speak the word of God, but really they act in their own self-interest. The whole church pays the cost of their failure in lost integrity and credibility. And so, when we even dare to point the finger of criticism at the sin of the world, we are told bluntly and rightly, clean up your own backyard. Psalm 101 urges us to think about what constitutes a blameless way. David's thoughts about this led him to promise to God, I will walk with integrity of heart within my house. Integrity of heart, what is that? Well, Kirby Anderson, in his online article about integrity, says, a person of integrity is living rightly, not divided, nor being a different person in different circumstances. A person of integrity is the same person in private that he or she is in public. David says he will walk this walk of integrity, firstly within his home. Isn't that often the most difficult place to do so, in front of your family? What about when there's no one else around to see you? Do your actions still reflect that integrity? Or do you have the attitude, no one will know, so why not? Or, it won't hurt anyone if I do this. In verse 3 he says, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. David vows to God his eyes. Jesus says, your eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is full of light. But when it is bad, your body is full of darkness. Luke 11:34. In a society that daily bombards us with visual images that are pornographic or questionable or suggestive, that is hard, isn't it? But living a life of integrity demands that we resist these temptations, that we don't tolerate them in any way. Can we join with David when he says, I will know nothing of evil? In the remaining verses, you need to go through them with your students, David insists that he wants to live a life of absolute integrity and wants to have nothing to do with those who don't. So what does it mean in practical terms to live a life of integrity? Kirby Anderson suggests 4 characteristics: honesty, trustworthiness, integrity in private life, and public testimony. For the excellent examples he gives for each, please read the article at https://probe.org/integrity. May you urge your students to live lives of integrity. Secondly today, simplicity. When one considers the images that we see in the media of pastors dressed in extravagant suits, wearing expensive jewelry, driving fancy cars, and living in very costly houses, we immediately think of Jesus, who said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Luke 9:58. Yes, Jesus lived a very simple life. No fancy clothes, no fancy house, and nothing that would make his audience think that it would be otherwise. In addition, as we examine his teachings, we never find anything about his followers deserving anything special when it comes to worldly goods and possessions. All we find is Matthew 6:19-20. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And in 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? And then the assurance in Matthew 6:33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. We will deal with this in greater detail when we discuss the prosperity gospel in outcome 2.8. But suffice to say that Jesus lived a life of simplicity, and he calls us to do the same.